Breakfast puppies?
This podcast contains adult language and content and is meant for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
We're all set to begin, so let's dive right in to Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes, gamer things and all the like. You can listen to it in your cars. But mostly it's about dive bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars.
Hey, NPC. What you drinking over there?
What I am drinking, it is simply a mix of polar seltzer. This is the unpronounced, the one everyone mispronounces that all the white people like to drink.
Zima?
Wow, you are from the Midwest.
No, the
I'm also from fucking, the 80s, 90s.
White Claw?
No, the non-alcoholic one. Seltzer water with flavor that everyone drinks.
Oh, LaCroix?
LaCroix. Yeah, okay.
This is the off-brand LaCroix Polar. It's got a nice little polar bear on it. It's a cranberry lime soda with ice and Portland local Medoyev vodka. Very nice. Very delicious vodka.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not bad for vodka.
Yeah, it's just a simple homemade mixed drink in a McMiniman's cup.
And just, Jacob, what are you drinking?
I am having Old Crow with a Modelo Negra back.
Attaboy. Attaboy.
What are you sipping on over there, my brother?
I got the last remnants of my Dickel Rye whiskey, and I am sipping on it before I switch over to something else in a little bit. We'll disclose that later.
Which Dickel Rye?
Green label?
Green label. Got it. Okay.
There's another Dickel Rye?
There is.
What? Is it better?
No.
Good. I actually don't like the Dickel Tennessee whiskey. I don't care for it. I've had a couple different varieties of it. I just think that by and large, and sorry if we're going to lose Tennessee over this, your whiskey is kind of garbage. I mean, your buddy Kentucky is kicking your ass right now, so you should probably step your shit up.
Any hints of things to come?
As far as drinks go?
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to go head east. We're going to head quite a few miles east for our next drink that we're going to have once I'm done with this whiskey and you're done with your vodka from Portland.
Now, do you mean east of Portland or east of Tennessee?
Oh, I mean like east of the United States.
Oh, okay, cool.
Excellent.
Yeah.
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 All right.
But not quite as far east as the far east, somewhere in between.
Okay, speaking of somewhere in between, you're listening to Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Recorded here in Portland, Oregon. I'm NPC.
I'm Just Jacob.
I'm Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
Poppy Beaujolais could not join us today, so we're bringing it back to the original Core 3 that started it all.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. What's our topic today, guys?
Oh, I don't know. I have some whiskey in my glass and nowhere to go. I have friends about me. This tavern is warm. Why go out in a vicious storm?
Well, if the ocean was whiskey and I was a duck, well, I'd swim to the bottom and never come up. Rye whiskey, rye whiskey, rye whiskey, I cried. If I don't get rye whiskey, I surely will die.
We're talking about drinking songs tonight.
Oh, I thought we were talking about my medical condition where if I don't get whiskey, I die.
Well,
you know, let's save that for next episode. Yeah. I think we could dive deep into that once Poppy comes back. And I think that crosses over into her career.
Yeah. Well, I like drinking songs. Let's stick with that then.
Yeah, outstanding. Yeah, let's do that. Now, what is a drinking song, Xander?
As opposed to songs about drinking?
Don't you mean the same thing? That's what I said, you know?
No, I'm going to go and say they're different. I'm going to go and say they're different for this reason. There are a lot of good songs that are about drinking. I would say about 2/3 of country western songs, for instance. And not all of them, I would say, are good drinking songs. And by drinking song, I mean a song in which is fun to sing at a bar while you are drinking and or drunk. So those can be, they can also be the same thing, but they can also be very different.
And I agree with you on this. I'm no longer going to play the idiot Rube here. To me, a song about drinking is, it can be a lot of fun, but oftentimes you can't sing along with them. To me, a good drinking song is the kind of song that you start a round of it, and then after that round, suddenly everyone in the bar chimes in and starts singing along as they're clapping their drinks together and arms across each other's shoulder kind of thing.
Yeah, and drinking songs have been around as long as people have had alcohol, and since beer, it goes back with us as far, if not farther, as the agricultural revolution, it's been around. Looking into it, I came up with the three oldest documented drinking songs. Two I cannot pronounce the names of because one's in Mongolian. The other is in Chinese.
Okay.
And that one may be the oldest, but since at least one, if not two, of the Chinese dynasties were considered mythic, it might not be the oldest. And the oldest one is a extant ancient Sumerian ode to beer. The ancient Sumerian ode to beer is tied or possibly the oldest recorded drinking song, and it's "May Ninkasi live together with you."
I was going to say, I must mention Ninkasi, as that was the ancient goddess of beer.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Ninkasi was a goddess?
Yes.
Of beer?
Yeah. In the Sumerian culture, that's why Ninkasi Brewing out of Eugene named themselves after
fucking Ninkasi. Fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, the Sumerian pantheon is all about drinking, sex, sexual equality, and masturbation. So, you know, it's you got the whole realm.
As a side note, I've been going through with something close to an addiction all of these great courses that I have available to me thanks to my membership of the Multnomah County Library.
Please see our previous episode on why you should love your local library.
And one of the things that I've been mainlining are, well, not one of the things, many of the topics that I've been going into are those on ancient history, specifically origin of civilization kind of discussions. Currently, I'm going through one on ancient Sumeria, origins of civilization, and the professor who is giving this lecture, she was the first bassist for the Bengals.
Oh, what? Awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So I would say the good bassist for, speaking of bassist, different bassist.
We pre-gamed, folks.
The basis of a good drinking song is one in which there's usually a chorus that happens repeatedly. So even if you don't know most of the lyrics, you'll at least be able to know the chorus pretty easily. And if you don't, you can pick up on it real fucking fast, even while shit-faced. And also, usually involves drinking. Usually. Doesn't have to. I will argue there are some good bar songs out there that do not have to do with drinking. But they sure fucking help.
I would like to propose my candidate for best drinking song of the modern age, Garth Brooks, Friends in Low Places.
Yeah.
It hits all the notes.
Yep.
It has that chorus. And people who don't even like country love this fucking song.
As someone who doesn't even like Garth Brooks, when that song comes on, I go, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's not my favorite drinking song, but I definitely know, as you are saying, it hits every single thing that makes a good drinking song. Simple lyrics, a instantly recognized chorus, and the cadence is slow enough that you can keep up, probably.
Mm-hmm. No matter how many sheets to the wind you currently possess.
And that's a big thing about drinking songs. A lot of the drinking songs were dual-purpose work songs that helped people keep in rhythm. Plus, you could then sing them at the bar because, well, they were easy to keep in rhythm. They were a little bit slower, and everybody knew them. That's why sea shanties were so popular as drinking songs.
I mean, Drunken Sailor is quite possibly the most noticeable of all of them. And you can kind of just make up lyrics as you go, even if it's not, you know, the more traditional ones, because you say it once, and everyone repeats it three more times after you. So it just is easy to go and be like, let's do this to the Drunken Sailor. And everyone goes, yeah, fuck that guy.
It's funny you mention that because What Do You Do with a Drunken Sailor is literally the first one on my list. Like, I could not think of anything more appropriate than that. But speaking of sea shanties, Xander, you have a story to tell about this, don't you?
I do have a story. So our good friend of the podcast, amazing local musician and composer, Skip Von Kusky, who did our theme song. I went and commissioned him to do an updated version. And as he was kind of, you know, digging on the latest sea shanty craze, is that, I don't know anything about how it came up. I think it was a TikTok. I don't fucking know. But he actually made a very fun sea shanty version with brand new lyrics, brand new music, cello forward for the Bikers Dice and Bars theme. And I think we should probably play it at the end of the night.
I think we should play it. And if anybody wants to check out the long form version of it, please check out our Patreon, because it will be coming out as soon as we finish recording this episode.
So I have a fun story about my favorite drinking song. There is a good musician out of Seattle, Jason Webley, phenomenal accordion player. He kind of initially sounded just a bunch too much like Tom Waits, but then he kind of found his own rhythm afterwards, clearly inspired by. But then he found his own cadence, his own rhythm, and just really blossomed. And also, good friend of mine, hung out with him many times. We're on a first name basis. And on his 2002 album called Counterpart, which is a great album, by the way, everyone should go look into that, he has a song that is just called Drinking Song. It is everything you'd want to be, everything you'd want out of a drinking song is what this song is. He even has a bunch of his drunken friends in the background, cheersing glasses, so you get all that bar noise in there, which is kind of a whole nother fun layer to it. And he is in his, you know, kind of gravelly Tom Waits-esque singing point in his career. And it's all done on accordion. And it starts off with the la-da-dee, 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 which is part of the chorus. It's really easy to do. And when he sings it live, he teaches you the entire chorus. So as you go and sing the song, you already know the chorus and you can at least start from there. The lyrics themselves, I think, are very fun because they do have to deal with some tragedy, which a lot of drinking songs do. And it deals with how to deal with those tragedies, which is mainly drinking. So the chorus line, should I speak it or just sing it?
I would just sing it.
Here's what I'd like to do. Let's sing a bar or two and just start to build up a little bit of a collection as this evening goes on. And we'll talk a little bit more about that at the end of the episode.
So the chorus is basically, when the glass is full, drink up, drink up. This may be the last time we see this cup. If God wanted us sober, he'd knock the glass over. So while it is full, we drink up. And then there's a lot of D, a lot of dies afterwards. So pretty simple to get down. And of course, when he plays the song live, he asks who's drunk in the audience. Inevitably, there's some minors or people who don't drink. And so it's like, what? What's wrong with you? All right, we're going to all get collectively shit-faced right now. Take your index finger and point it to the heavens and spin around for 30 seconds. And so he gets the whole crowd riled up. They just start spinning while staring at their finger. And then, of course, he's going to count off 30 rotations. The first 7 rotations are usually just the number 1. Everyone's just like, oh, fuck. And so finally he goes, all right, put down your fingers. And everyone's just stumbling around, about to fall over. And then he gets into the song and the whole crowd is just enamored into being part of it, which I think is another thing about drinking songs, is that it brings the room together.
You gonna give us a couple bars of it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Make it happen.
When the glass is full, drink up, drink up. This may be the last time we see this cup. If God wanted us sober, he'd knock the glass over. So while it is full, we drink up. And so my fun story about this song, this was probably about 2 or 3 days before the shutdown happened in Portland. This would have been like March 12th or 13th or something like that. We all kind of saw what was on the horizon. We were all just kind of getting like, well, getting depressed. We knew shit was going to get fucked for longer than the 2 weeks they said it was going to be fucked for. I remember going, getting a couple drinks afterwards outside of the little red shed where I was working, sitting by a fire pit, you know, having a smoke. And I was hanging out with this Chilean family. Like half the family was from Chile. The other half had either immigrated over or were born in the United States. So it was kind of like they knew this was going to be the last time to get together before everything got shut down. And so I just started chatting with them. And I was like, you guys want to sing a song? You know, just to try to be jovial for a minute. And they go, yeah. So I teach them all the Jason Webley drinking song, the chorus anyways. And so I sing out the verses. And they like gleefully join into the chorus. And when we're done singing it, they go, can we do that again? I think we got it down now.
That's said, a sign of a good drinking song.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck it. Let's do it. And then other people started to walk up because they wanted to be part of the drinking song. And after a while, we had a fair group of people that were just like, yeah, okay, one more time. And it was just that brief moment of joy before the cataclysm that was COVID just shut down everything. So I want to give a shout out to Jason Webley for writing a damn good song that he got to share with people before the shutdown.
Hell yeah. Jacob.
Well, the first one that came to my mind was one of my favorites. It's by a Canadian folk group that is sadly no longer extant called Tanglefoot, and it's called Jack the Green. While it was normally done as a singer singing the verses and everybody in the bar doing the choruses, it was an amazing song, and if you were what was called a foothead, a huge fan of Tanglefoot, you knew the song inside and out and were highly encouraged to try to outsing the band in volume while it was going on. And so, the chorus, which is what you should know if the song comes on, Jack the Green with a drop of the crather. Jack the Green, there was none any braver. Fist come down, voice beller out. I can lick any man here.
I like that. It has that nice cadence. Mm-hmm. It has a rhyming scheme, which is good when you're going to have a drinking song. Mm-hmm. And it's very simple. It's very simple, which I think that works. Now, does this song actually involve drinking, or is it just a song that is usually sung at bars with drunk people?
Jack the Green with a drop of the crather. Crather is a old Canadian word for tuple, a tipple of any kind.
Oh, so if I was Canadian, I'd probably know this.
Possibly. It's one of those.
If I was an old Canadian, I'd probably know this.
It's a Gaelic Canadian turn of phrase. It's a corruption of a Irish word.
Okay. I like it.
NPC, what do you got for us?
In my old group of friends, we had a drinking song that I have met very few people here who know it. Because it fits with a certain era, with a certain group of people in a certain time. And the song is called Johnny, I Hardly Knew Ye.
Oh, classic.
But I've met a lot of people that don't know it. And let's see if I can do it. While going the road to sweet thy haru, haru. While going the road to sweet thy haru. Haru, welcome the road to sweet a thigh, a sticking me hand and a dropping me eye, a doleful damsel I heard cry, and Johnny, we hardly knew ye. With a gums and drums and guns, aru, aru, with a guns and drums and guns, aru, aru, with a guns and drums and drums, the enemy nearly slew ye. Oh, darling dear, ye look so queer, with Johnny we hardly knew ye. And that would be the chorus.
I like it. I mean, obviously it's a recognizable tune. I would doubt that's the original, but probably just sung to the tune of...
I had to look up the lyrics to make sure I remembered this correctly, and apparently Joni Mitchell also did a cover of this, so hey, right on.
Because that's a Civil War song, I believe, Johnny Come Marching Home. It says Civil War, right?
Johnny Come Marching Home is Civil War. Yeah. This dates back to the UK.
Oh, like, shit, so this one's even older. So yeah.
This is the official song of Yale.
Yeah.
What?
And the reason I only know this song is because I was in a theater group, and we were a singing theater group in high school, and through high school and throughout my early 20s, we were visited very early on by the Yale Baker's Dozen Men's A Cappella Choir. And they came and they did a version of this, and from that day fucking forward, our entire group's drinking song was this. So we would get drunk and we would sing along to this song, and it was amazing.
So some of you know that, yeah, probably about 7, 5-7 years ago was when I think we went out for the last time. I made a group called the Raintown Rumblers with the explicit point of trying to go and bring back bar singing to bars. Now, to be fair, we would not sit inside if there was, you know, ambient music being played because we didn't want to be rude, or if someone was playing the jukebox or anything like that. But if they had a patio, that's where we would go. And we all had nicknames for each other, so no one was called their given name.
And what was yours?
The good Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought it would be something lascivious.
Yeah, but there was the Reformer, there was Coyote, there was a couple other people. Anyways, we would go out. I wouldn't go out unless we had at least 5 of us, but sometimes as many as 10. And we would show up at these bars. We had a whole pattern of where we would go. We would start at, what's that place? Roadside Attraction. Because they had a big outdoor patio. And then we'd sing the 5 songs that we would sing. And then be like, well, I guess we have to go now. And then we'd walk to usually the Matador. And then we'd walk to the Vern. And that was kind of the 3 bars we would hit up. We got kicked out of the Vern once. Which is hard to do.
No. It's kind of a source of pride, though. If you're able 100%. To get kicked out of the Vern... That's like you could put that on a business card and immediately get laid.
Dr. Xander Gerrymander, podcaster, writer, bartender, was once kicked out of the Vern. Damn, this got hard. So the reason we got kicked out is we didn't notice that it was past 10 p.m. and we were on their back patio singing very loudly. And they just said, you guys all have to go. So we did, because fuck that. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. In fact, whenever I would show up at the Matador, not with my group, the bartender would always ask, where are your singers? I miss them. And then one time we got fucking owned because we were sitting outside the Matador. We start singing our drinking songs. And one of those stupid bar buses that would drop people off at bars. And
party bus.
Yeah.
I did one of those once. It wasn't the worst thing ever.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good thing because it makes sure the people don't drink and drive, but then they get fucking way too schnockered because they're not conscious of it anymore. But by the last bar they get to, they're just a fucking stumbling mess. But we showed up, or they showed up, and we had already sung 2 of our drinking songs, and they go, can we join in with your drinking songs? And we should, absolutely. And these motherfuckers were all Irish, right?
You're fucked.
So they didn't know our songs, but they had a fuck ton of their own, and there was more of them than us. But it was great. We inspired them to just sing for like a half hour, 45 minutes while they were at the bar. It was incredible. But I think my favorite Raintown Rumbler story, we did our typical thing. This was a bigger group of us. We had hit up our typical 3 or 4 bars, and Coyote, one of his friends, said, I have a house party. You guys should show up and you guys should go and drink with us and sing us songs. And we said, that sounds fucking great. So we do what we usually do. We were singing one of our songs as we go to the Plaid Pantry, buy more beer. We find the address. We go in there. We can clearly hear there's a house party going on in the backyard. They have a bunch of kegs. They're drinking, obviously, outside on a nice warm summer day. And we stroll up and we start singing. And at the end of our song, we get a couple of applauses, and then they go, and who are you? We go, oh, is this not so-and-so's house? And they go, no, this is not so-and-so's house. So no one here is friends with this guy. Everyone, we don't know who this guy is. Oh, fuck, Coyote, do you get the wrong address, or do they send us the wrong address? Either way, we just crashed a random house party. And they told us, hey, if you guys sing another song for us, we have a keg over there. Help yourself. We said, beer first, and they went, done. So we went and got more beer. We started singing another song. And like, yeah, you keep singing, you can keep drinking. Not a problem. So we did this for about 45 minutes. It was a lot of fun. These guys fucking loved us. They were applauding us. They were giving us high fives. We went, okay, now I have to go find the actual house party we're supposed to be at. So we walked. It was 2 doors down. The person just sent us the wrong address. This house party fucking sucked. Just a bunch of people like smoking pot inside and listening to like EDM or some shit. I'm like, fuck this party.
Did you go back?
Oh, yeah. Like, how could you not at that point?
Well, can you sing for us a bar or two? of one of the favorites that you sang from those days.
Absolutely. This is going to be my favorite. This is the one we would always end with. Or as we were walking down the street from bar to bar, this is the one we would be singing. I know Jacob knows this song. It is called Blood Upon the Risers. And Blood Upon the Risers is great because it was a song that the American paratroopers sang during World War II as they were going to and from battle as kind of their uplifting, you know, morale boosting song, which is ironically about a paratrooper who falls down and goes splat. But they all sing it. They all loved it. And it's to Battle Hymn of the Republics. Everyone at least knew the tune with a very, very catchy chorus, which was,
"Gory, gory, what a hell of a way to die. Gory, gory, what a hell of a way to die. Gory, gory, what a hell of a way to die. And he ain't gonna jump no more."
And that's how the chorus went. So even if you didn't know, and what we usually do is one person would take one stanza, then everyone else would go and sing the chorus, kind of that typical fashion. And I will always give much respect to my Raintown Rumblers, because when my grandfather died, they all showed up to sing that at his funeral. And it was beautiful. There were, you know, laughs from the relatives whenever that would come back up again. And it was just nice. You know, we got everyone together. Everyone showed up, dressed up well, and then just sang it for all of his relatives during a time of mourning. It was like a mixture of sniffles and laughs, and it was great. So that was always our go-to one at the very end of the night. Also, because it's long. It's like 5.5, 6 minutes. So, and again, easy to catch up on.
Segueing to Jacob's next story, we're going to pass around these drinking cups so I can give you folks some Zabrufka.
So
I love Zabrufka.
I grew up in a very, very Irish family. And as far as I can tell, half of the entire canon of Irish music is made up of songs that are meant to be sung while drinking. I'll just say that my family has, shall we say, Republican tendencies, and we're not talking about U.S. politics here. Anyways, I don't remember when I first learned the words to Black and Tans, but I know that by my 12th birthday, I could belt out the entire song in my horrible off-key manner that I carry through till this day. And it is one of the early pieces of the canon of early modern Irish fight songs from the Republic days.
So just going with the way that I first heard you say that, it sounded as if you were about to say early Mayan Irish fight songs.
Modern.
And I want to go to there.
Oh, well, if you ever want to have me discuss the history of Scottish colonies in the New World, I have a song for that.
I want to see someone write an RPG campaign setting based on a mash of Mayan and Irish mythology. That would rock.
So, fun fact, I have a Call of Cthulhu scenario based in a pub in the Scottish colony in South America that was attempted to be set up by a Scottish con man. So that could potentially happen. Okay.
Anyway, I interrupted you.
Anyways, the song is Black and Tans. And it is a pre-separation song that came out during the prior to the Irish War for Independence. And it goes a little something like this. "Come out, you black and tans, come and fight me like a man. Show your wife how you won medals down in Flanders. Come and tell how the IRA made you run like hell away."
I need that song in my life.
Yes, and it should happen. Our great editor was telling me to back up from the mic. Regrettably, I have one volume I sing that at, and it is full.
Yeah, I could feel that one from across the room. There was there was some, there was a little bit of black and tan hate right there.
Yeah.
Now, Jacob.
Tell us how you really feel.
Well, I'm already on too many DHS watch lists as it is.
DHS, if you're looking to sponsor a podcast, please let us know.
This podcast is brought to you by the Secret Service. Jacob, for those who might not know at home, who are the Black and Tan and why are they such bastards?
So the Black and Tans were a paramilitary organization set up by the Royal Dublin Constabulary in the 19-teens that were basically Protestants they drafted and put in whatever uniforms they could find, which were routinely black and tan, and used as supplemental police. They were incredibly biased and had a great tendency to kick the shit out of poor people. And that is where the song came from. They were notorious for their abuses.
And on top of that, too, basically a precursor to the Third Reich stormtroopers.
Well, we can get into the blue shirts at another venture.
Yeah. Anyways.
Whoa.
Yeah, this got dark real fast. But again, it sounds like a great drinking song with a purpose behind it.
Oh, yes. Like many Irish songs. The canon of Irish rebel songs, almost every last one is designed to be sung while drinking.
After killing a bunch of black and tans. Okay. We'll go with that. Stand by that statement.
Back to you, NPC.
It's funny you mentioned Scotland, because the number two song on my drinking song list ranked, "You'll take the high road and I'll take the low road, and I'll be in Scotland for he. Oh, me and my true love will never meet again on the bonny, bonny banks of the Clomond."
Yeah.
Also a good book.
Just that one will also put a tear in your eye.
Oh, my drinking songs aren't happy.
Not all of them should be.
Yeah. Many of them can be, but I think the ones that people can share the most feelings with are the ones where there is some loss, be it a deep personal morbid heart crying loss or just "she done me wrong" kind of loss.
I mean, that's why I like all three of these stanzas in Jason Webley's drinking song have to do with loss. Like, one is about him losing the last recording he has of his mother on a cassette recorder that just eats the whole tape.
Oh!
Yeah, that's the first
harsh.
One.
That's... Children, that's awful because there's no digital copy of that. It's...
Yeah, it's rough. And that's why he's drinking at the bar. Then the other, the middle stanza is, and here's to Molly, a girl I once loved. Oh Lord, why do things have to die? If drinking beer could bring her back here, well, I'd drink the damn place dry. Yes, I'd drink the damn place dry.
You know, I'm sitting here now that we mentioned that was a heartbreaking song. Looking at my list here. Okay. Here's my list, right? Okay. Well, we've got Loch Lomond, number two. Number three would be Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Jesus
That's
Christ.
That's a terrible, depressing song.
Wow.
Number four would be American Pie. That's a goddamn depressing song. Of course, then, you know, we've already mentioned Friends in Low Places. Weezer, Say It Ain't So. That's a song about alcoholism.
Just yeah.
Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Say It Ain't So as a drinking song. That's interesting. Or that song's about drinking more.
No, Say It Ain't So was our drinking song back in high school.
Oh, wow.
When we totally didn't drink because we didn't. But in high school, okay, I don't know if, dear listener or dear fellow hosts, if you experienced this thing in the 90s, but it was, there was this period of time where you're in high school, late 90s, you go to a party and party's happening, you know, it's a good time, people are doing their thing, music's playing, whatever. And then that one guy who's at that party, who's always at every party, pulls out from nowhere, like he hit it in his butthole, an acoustic guitar. And it's like, I'm just going to play a few bars of a song. And it's either Wonderwall or Say It Ain't So. every fucking time.
All right.
That was our drinking song for a long time.
That's interesting. I would love to hear a rendition.
And the last one on my list was a joke. It was Reigns of Castamere, which you have to be a Game of Thrones fan to understand that one.
Jane the Manic.
Oh my God, how did I forget? He robbed from the rich and he gave to the poor.
I mean, that was literally sung in a bar by that asshole who pulled the guitar out of his butthole. And then the whole bar gets into it.
You're so right.
That's what that reminded me of that. Oh, and everyone's drinking Mudder's milk and cheers in their glasses and gets spilled everywhere. And no one gives a fuck because Jane is back, baby.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's good.
Firefly gave us several good drinking songs. But yeah, that is probably the
take best. Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. Yeah, yeah, you're right. It really did.
And of course, one of my other favorite ones, though you kind of have to slow it down when you're singing at a bar, is Streams of Whiskey by the Pogues. That's a great one. And I actually like singing one of the other ones that the Raintown Rumblers would do was their rendition of Dirty Old Town. Because while it doesn't really talk about drinking, you can tell in the background there's a fuck ton of drinking going on.
What are the other ones on your list?
Innocent When You Dream by Tom Waits. So that's off of Frank's Wild Years, and there's two versions of it on there. The one is literally called Innocent When You Dream Barroom. And it's him doing overdubs of him singing with himself. So, and he's partially off cadence. And he'll start, and then the other Tom Waits will be like, oh shit, and try to catch up to him, like really quick, sing the first part really fast, even though he missed the first two words. So it does sound like a bunch of drunkards singing. And it's got a very slow cadence to it, so it's easy to go and sing along to. And it does sound like the type of song that you could only really sing if you have your arms wrapped around each other. And the Raintown Rumblers changed just one word at the end of every chorus, because the chorus was, you know, and it's such a strange, such a sad old feeling. The fields are soft and green, and it's memories that I'm stealing. But you're innocent when you dream, when you dream. You're innocent when you dream, when you dream. You're innocent when you drink. So we would always belt that out really loudly at the end. But otherwise, we didn't change anything. And it's just a song about friends, kind of. It seems like they're all just getting drunk in a field somewhere and just, like, fucking around. And there's some sorrow in there. There's some friendship in there. It's a really good one.
What are the rest on your list, Jacob?
Well, you already covered The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, which, I mean, as a North Shore of Minnesota person, that's baked into your bones.
Yeah.
You know, Gordon Lightfoot, I've sung that in a bar full of people, including relatives of the men who died that night. Ooh. And it is just an amazing song.
And it's one of those songs that is on almost every karaoke song list, but no one sings it. And when someone does sing it, there's a division in the crowd. And that division is the people who are pissed off because someone just put on like a 9-minute song, mm-hmm. versus the people who are just going to fucking sing along with the goddamn Wreck of Edmund Fitzgerald because it's going to be a fun night. Mm-hmm. And it's amusing to watch whenever you go to a new town and sing that song. Mm-hmm. Who's pissed off at you versus who's having a good time.
But one of my favorites is Gunpowder and Lead by Miranda Lambert. It's a country song, but it holds a special place in my heart from a long period in my life where I had a group of friends that would frequently call me up and go, hey, Jacob, it's girls' night out. We'll pick you up in 15 minutes. And we'd end up chorusing this at bars, whether there was a karaoke setup or not. And it is an amazing song. We had a couple people who knew every single lyric and could sing it by heart. You know, the rest of us were there for the chorus, which is a real strong chorus. And it goes a little something like this. I'm going home, gonna load my shotgun, wait by the door and light a cigarette. If he wants a fight, well, now he's got one and he ain't seen me crazy yet.
Ooh. Okay.
And it goes from there.
I believe you.
And it's amazing. It's one of the greatest power songs that if you can get a bunch of people who can put the feeling behind it, it's just a belter.
We've mentioned this word a few times already, and that would be karaoke. Karaoke, would you agree then, is the modern evolution of the drinking song into the mass consciousness?
I would argue that it is, and it was a bad way to do it.
I don't know. Karaoke's fun. It brings people together.
Let me go and preface it this way. I fucking love karaoke. You know I love karaoke. You know I love karaoke. I know I love karaoke. Karaoke knows I love karaoke. However,
karaoke,
if you're going to sponsor a podcast,
let us know.
I'll read whatever you put in front of the screen for me. Fuck it, I'll sing it.
Well played.
So, again, I think bar songs would more or less happen organically, right? You'd have the one guy who would stand up on top of the bar, belt out the first verse, and because it was such commonplace and common knowledge, these songs and these areas that they were in, everyone would know exactly what to do. And then someone else, after that song's over, they start something else. And it just kind of flows from there where it's an entire group getting together because they know these songs and they're for a purpose and a reason. Whereas karaoke is, there's that one person on stage. They have the microphone and it's their show. And I know people who get fucking pissed if people sing along with them. And that's weird.
Fuck them.
I don't disagree. But I'm saying there are some fucking divas out there. They get all pissy if people try to steal the spotlight from them. So that's why I think it's a different kind of thing. I see where you're going with it, but I prefer the organic. I'm just going to go fucking sing in this bar right now. And anyone else who wants to join along, be more than happy to teach the songs.
When I'm at a bar and it's a karaoke bar or a karaoke night at a bar, and the person gets up on stage and goes, come on, with me now. And is sitting there trying to get the bar to sing the song.
And nobody does.
Well, first of all, I feel bad for them. Yeah. And as bad as I sing, I will be belting it out just in support. But if you're in a bar that gets it and will grab a song, I mean, when I was bartending, the number of times it would be karaoke night in whatever shitty college bar I was bartending at, and someone would get up on stage and crank out Tub Thumper.
Oh my. I thought you were about to say Don't Stop Believing.
No, I mean, that's a classic one. I mean, like any Journey song also is a great one. But, if you can get up there and like Tub Thumper is an amazing song because everybody knows Oh Danny Boy. And Tub Thumper is a song, even if you can't sing, it's a great song for you to be able to participate in because all the words are spoken except for the chorus.
I come from a place back east where southeast really, where spontaneous song would happen in bars. And it was fucking awesome. Be it a dive bar or a fucking Chili's. It was spontaneous song would happen in the southeast. Here in Portland, we live in a city of introverts, of people who don't want you to talk to them when they're standing in line at the grocery store, of people who wear their headphones to block out the rest of the world, of people who genuinely don't want to socialize. They want to be in society, but not part of it, kind of thing. Here, karaoke is necessary to get those people to actually express in song.
Which is part of the reason why the rise of the karaoke room venue is both kind of a good thing and a bad thing, because the entire thing is for you and a bunch of friends to get together and sing.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
But it detracts from that public participation. Which is not fun. And so I've done the karaoke room thing. I've sat in a hot tub belting out My Way, and it was a great time. But, you're not walking into a bar and getting total random strangers to rock out Garth Brooks with you.
So to follow up on the fun aspect of going and singing these songs out in front of people as opposed to the private booth karaoke style, my ex-wife and I had this thing we used to do. It would take me months to hype her up because, speaking of introverts, but when we would when I could get her to agree to this, it was a lot of fucking fun for us and depressing for everybody else in the bar. Because we would sing exactly two songs. They were both duets. We would go and sing both by the same artist, more or less. Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds with Kylie Minogue. With Kylie Minogue doing Where the Wild Roses Grow. A song in which I bash in her head with a rock after I do sweet things to her.
And let me guess, the other one with PJ Harvey?
It sure fucking is. Yeah, we definitely, we also would sing Henry Lee, where she would go and take a penknife and stab me to death. And then we'd leave afterwards. And they were like, this couple just sang two songs about them killing each other. Like, should we call the cops? Like, should we be concerned about this?
Have we just seen the final run up on a suicide pact? What's going on?
No, exactly. And it was a lot of fun to do. And you can't do things like that unless you are at an actual bar singing in front of people. And on that note, if I may give a shout out to John Brophy and Baby Kitten Karaoke.
Mm.
The best karaoke venue probably in the country.
Karaoke or Baby Kitten is where it's at.
Their song selection is stupid.
Yeah, it's blows my mind. They have songs on there that I would have never expected to see at any other place.
You know why that is?
Why?
Because John Brophy goes and buys the licenses for songs people request of him and then goes into his computer and by himself plucks out all the words, types in all the words. And so you can get custom songs if it's from a popular enough artist that he thinks it's going to be worth his while to do, he will fucking do it. And that's why he has the best selection, because he puts in the work.
John Brophy, if you're looking to sponsor a podcast, please let us know. That's the third time I've used that joke. I'm done.
John Brophy, thank you again for adding Send in the Clowns to your repertoire.
So I think what we should do now, too, is maybe talk about the difference between a drinking song and a song about drinking.
Freebird!
Oh, God, that went there real fast.
All right. You've been listening to Biker's Dice and Bar. It's recorded here in Fort Worth, Oregon. As usual, I'm NPC.
Yeah. So there are a bunch of songs that I think are about drinking that I don't think are quite there to sing along with in a crowd, but are definitely about the subject of drinking. One of my favorites is called Hair of the Dog by Dale Watson.
Great choice.
Yeah, Hair of the Dog is about getting too drunk the night before. And get me the hair of the dog that bit me, because I heard somewhere it takes the bite away. And it's just about him getting too, and part of the chorus line is, I'll swear I'd never drink again. And it's a wonderful song. He also has another great song called I Lie When I Drink, and I drink a lot. So don't believe me when I've had a few.
Well, there's also, just off the top of my head, Reverend Horton Heat, Whiskey, Beer, and Wine.
Great song.
Not really a sing-along song, but it is, you know.
George, great song about drinking.
George Thorogood and the Destroyers. One whiskey, one scotch, one beer.
Yeah. Not a great sing-along song. Great song about drinking. Yeah. And also fun to listen to in a bar. Yes. That's another good, I think. Because again, there are certain songs that are about just, you know.
Night Train.
Oh, God.
Sorry. Just.
Wow. Someday remind me to tell you how I lost my voice for 3 days because of that song.
Oh, my God.
Has anyone made a song about Mad Dog that you know of?
Not that I know of right now.
Okay.
I think we did a couple months ago.
It was called, oh God, make it stop.
They've made a song about Thunderbird, but not to my knowledge.
MD 2020.
Gin and juice.
The cider song, which is I'm not exactly sure where the origins are of it. It's either Ireland, Scotland, or England. And it's all about the joy of cider.
I cannot believe I forgot about a song about drinking that is also a good drinking song. And that is Toby Keith, Red Solo Cup. It's a great drinking song.
Surprisingly, a lot of Toby Keith songs are decent drinking songs.
Yeah, it's got a good cadence. It's easy to sing along.
How Do You Like Me Now is one of my favorites for sing-alongs.
You know, thinking about this, too, for sing-alongs, I know this is one of your favorite songs, NPC. You never even called me by my name. A song made famous by David Allan Coe and written by one of my personal favorites, Steve Goodman.
I was drunk the day my mom got out of prison. And I went to pick her up in the rain. Yeah, I love that song so much.
And that is a good song to sing along with, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because the chorus is easy. And even the stanzas themselves are so famous at this point. It's pretty easy to go along with, I think. And I actually just heard that song as I was finishing up my ride today.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, yeah, I forgot about this one. That will be good for the show. Mm. But one of my other favorite ones, not a good sing-along, but a fucking amazing song about all the perks and downfalls of alcohol, was just the song by Gogol Bordello called Alcohol. And it's all about just how much it'll fuck you up and like relieve some pain, but there's all these, you know, downfalls to it too. It's great. It's a great song. It's almost a little bit too slow and complicated to be a good bar drinking song, but it's close.
I'm just going to quick throw out there as a last minute entry. Johnny Cash, Ring of Fire. It's more complicated than most drinking songs.
I thought that was about eating really awful Mexican food.
Oh,
feel personally attacked.
I mean, I'm sorry. I've had some really terrible, you know, taco truck food that gave me the burning ring of fire.
Well, you know, at least you know your risks of prostate cancer are lower. And
sure, but burn it all out of there.
Cleanse it with fire.
Ring of Fire is more complicated than most drinking songs are, and definitely more complicated than most sing-along songs are. But everybody knows it so well that you can hammer it out.
I would almost argue Cocaine Blues might be a little bit of a better one, but I see where you're going with that. And the last song that I'm going to say that I love about drinking, the one last one, that is Cold Beer Hello by the V-Roys. And it sounds like this guy is having this love affair with this beautiful woman. Just like, and I can feel my hands on your body. And then at the chorus line, it goes, cold beer, hello.
Nice.
So it's a good one that has a little twist in the middle. It's almost a good bar drinking song. Maybe we'll have to make it happen.
So, dear listener, something that I would like to do is put out a voting poll on our Patreon, because we've been throwing out some bars of various songs this evening. That
some bars of various songs.
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure I heard that correctly.
Yeah, a few bars of a song, you know.
Oh,
bars.
Okay. Okay.
Bar, you know.
Okay.
Like music.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That is a term, last time I checked. Anyway, we've been throwing out a few bars of a few songs this evening that we would all greatly enjoy. I'm speaking for myself. I'm assuming the other two of you are on board with this, singing the rest of said songs. And we just really didn't have time tonight to record all of us singing all of our favorite songs. But we would like to put out a poll where we put forth the songs that we have previewed this evening. Yeah. And see what our patrons think about the songs that they want to hear us sing in full form, recorded, released exclusively on our Patreon.
In their entirety.
Not
just a little bit, but the whole thing.
Yeah. We might add some like karaoke background music or something, because it's probably not going to be a cappella, but there will probably also be others singing along. Anyway, any of these songs that interest you, we'll post it and see what people think.
Would we take a video?
We'll see.
See how ambitious we get.
That means I have to put pants on.
Not if you film it above the waist, you dumb.
You know, I like the way you think.
I do too.
Anyway.
And that scares me.
This has been a lot of fun, I think, talking about great music and drinking together while sharing memories.
And folks, please send us some of your favorite drinking songs, because, you know, we're hardly experts on everything. There's new music out there every day. There's old music we've never discovered, you know, whether it's a West Virginia coal miner song, some of the classics from Appalachia.
Yes.
If you have any of the Greek fishermen songs, you know, if you can find the lyric sheets for some of the old Voyageur paddling songs that were also used around the campfire when they were getting hammered in Canada and the upper Midwest, give us some of your favorites. We'd love to hear them and find out about them. And perhaps someday in the future, you'll get to hear them live.
Send them to us on our Discord server. Join in and post them in our channel or send them an email. Send them to us on Twitter, whatever your preferred
method. Post
them
on Facebook.
Or Facebook, yeah. Let's get some more people over on the Facebook communities.
And what I will say too, once this whole fucking pandemic nonsense goes and rolls over, I will invite all of our Patreons to come join the Raintown Rumblers. I will bring them the fuck back. We will do this again.
What about our hosts?
Oh, yeah. You guys can come too. Okay. I guess you guys can come too.
I'm sorry. Only cool kids allowed? Thank you.
I mean, you know, there is a special carve out in the Geneva Conventions against me personally singing. So,
and that's fine. But yeah, no, we will bring them back. I'll try to see who the rest of the crew wants to come back, and we will hit up the same bars and see if they're still annoyed with us.
And if those bars don't exist, we'll just find new ones.
Or go sing and drink in the park.
We just, a tour of every dude's bar.
Just walk down the goddamn street, belting out tunes in the middle of the night, having people throw their night soil at us, telling us to shut up. It'll be just like it was in the 1700s. Yeah.
Oh, wait, no.
Thanks for listening, folks. This has been Biker's Dice and Bars here in Portland, Oregon. I'm NPC.
I'm just Jacob.
The good doctor, Xander Gerrymander.
And we wish to remind you,
always keep a shiny side up.
Always tip your bartender and servers.
Always roll them crits and always drink responsibly. Thank you for listening.
A pair of wheels, a pair of dice, a pair of cubes, and drinks are nice. It's time again for Biker's Dice and Bars. Open road, open gameplay. For open taverns we all pray. In a secular way, it's Biker's Dice and Bars. DMC is NPC. Play their roles, the game's afoot, until the bottle's gone kaput. And if you're driving, please don't drink, stay off your bike, raise a glass and clink. It's time again for Biker's Dice and Bars. Biker's Dice and Bars.
Thanks for joining us, friend. We've reached the end of Biker's Dice and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes, gamer things and all the like. You can listen to it in your car. But Biker's Dice and Bars. Biker's Dice and Bars.
Yep.